Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
It pays to serve God. Today, I'm going to do a little bit of explanation of types of wages you can expect for serving God. Number one, incomes. An income is the money that comes into your pocket for the work you have done. So an income is the money that comes into your pocket for the work you have done. So you must therefore expect a good income to be paid to you as you serve God. These incomes are the wages you can expect from God as you reap the harvest of souls. Praise God. Income is a form of money that comes to your pocket for the work that you have done. So as we serve God, and of course, there are various aspects of serving God. Soul winning is one of them, and very vital. So when you serve God in that area, you get income. When you preach, you get income. When you go out for evangelism or for enlargement campaign, you get income. When you come to church on a Wednesday like this, you get income. So it is that money that comes to your pocket for the work that you have done. So every time you do a work in the house of God, you expect income. So you will not be out of place to ask. In Luke chapter 6 verse 38, the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, shaken together, pressed down and running over. Men shall give unto your bosom. For the measure with which you measure shall also be measured to you." So when you work for God, you expect income. He pays you. Another kind of wages is what we call earnings. Earnings. E-A-R-N-I-N-G-S. Earnings. This is a sum of money you get by working. Expect earnings from God as you serve Him. The sum of money. The sum total of money that you get. They say, what do you earn in a month? What is your monthly earning? What is your yearly earning? What is your quarterly earning? So God can pay you something in a lump sum and bless you for the work you have done. Another one is returns. A return is the gain you realize for the work you have done. So you can get from God returns. So when you work for God, you must expect a good return as you serve God. A return is the gain you realize for the work you have done. It said that you were asked to carry a load from here down to the other junction. And for doing that, you are giving something. That's a return. So every time you work for God, there's a return. So you that come to church on a weekly basis, you that belongs to one working unit or the other, you expect a return. That God, for this thing I have done, you will pay me in return. Praise the Lord. We also have salaries. Salaries. This is the money that someone is paid monthly by his employer. Since you have been employed by God, you can expect a good salary. And of course, God is a better employer than anyone you can name here on the earth. And God has employed us. How do I know that I am under the employ of God? He said, now the power on earth has been given to me. Go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and baptizing everyone that believe. And lo, I am with you always. So you can expect salary monthly. So if you serve God good enough from the beginning of the month to the end of the month, you will not be wrong to ask God, Father, whatever is my salary for the services I've rendered in your house for this month, let it not be denied me. And of course, that salary could be health. That salary could be contract. That salary could be a favor. That salary could be God connecting you with somebody. That salary could be God bringing you an opportunity. It could also be God sending you an idea. But you will be in the right place to ask Him, Lord, for this month, I want you to pay me. And understand that you can't ask for pay where you have not worked. So if you are sure you have worked, you can be sure that you can ask God for salary and he will pay you. Another form of wages is what I call payments. Payments. This is the money you earn for a work done. Any work that is done, you earn money. So you expect payment. God, I need a pay for this that I have done. You know, when Abraham was asked to offer his son Isaac, the Bible said Abraham took the boy, went to the mountain, Mount Moriah, and was almost offering him up as a sacrifice. And God, in response, said to Abraham, "For this that you have done, as for blessing, I will bless you. For this that you have done." So every time God looks at you, he wants to find the this that you have done. What is the this that you have done in the house of God, in the name of the Lord, for the interest of God, for this thing that you have done, for looking beyond the size of your pocket and coming, for trekking all the way from your house to the church, even without transport, for this thing that you have done, I will do this for you. That's what is called payment. The money you earn for the work that you do. So expect payment as you serve God. There's another one I like. It is called compensation. Compensation. You know, the Bible says, "For your shame you shall have double compensation." This is money given to someone who has experienced losses or suffering. Compensation is money given to someone who has experienced losses or suffering. And God is a good person when it comes to compensation. He knows how to compensate you. Job chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, up until Job chapter 42. Sometimes I wonder why the book of Job had to have about 42 chapters devoted just for one man or to one man. That must have been a catalog of his life and experiences. Job had been the richest man in his country. He had been a faithful man, serving God and loving God. Only for God to have a transaction with Satan that allowed for everything Job had to be taken away from him. Job became poor. Job, who was a father before, suddenly had no children anymore who could call him daddy. Job, who was always very confident and very proud with himself, had become a shadow of himself. Job no longer had friends. Job no longer had close acquaintances. Everybody who was close to Job had suddenly disappeared and separated from him. Job has become a man alone, for no fault of his. And people started alleging different things. Some of his closest friends, who would rather not leave him, but will badmouth him, they said to him, "Job, there must be certain secret sins you have been committing, and that's why God has left you like this. Job, confess your sin. Maybe God will have mercy on you." They compounded the problem of Job. But all the same, the Bible says, in all of this, Job maintained his integrity. He kept his position with God, his trust, his confidence, his hope in God. He kept it alive. And God was proud of Job. That was a huge work done by Job. And at the end of it all, in the course of trying to console and comfort Job, his three friends became sinners, that they even needed more mercy from God than Job needed. And in the place of Job's sickness, God had to say to Job, "Amongst the four of you, Job and your three friends, you are more righteous than them. So you are the one to pray for them. Job could have said to God, not in this condition, not at this state, of what benefit, of what good, what is good about me praying for them? But the Bible says in Job 42, and Job prayed for his friends and demanded for mercy. And the Bible says God turned the captivity of Job. Can we look at Job 42, verse 10? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So he actually prayed for his friends. His friends could have been the ones praying for him. But no, in his sickness, incapacitation, disability, he prayed for his friends. And see what God did. God turned the captivity of Job. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. What do we call that? Compensation. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, for your shame you shall do what? You shall have double. That's compensation. It's just like one of your child losing something by your own fault. You gave the child a biscuit or something, and then unknowingly you walk and jam the child, and then maybe the biscuit fell into the gutter and the child begins to cry. For that, you may decide to buy him 2 packets of biscuit. What you have just done is that you are compensating that child for the damage you have caused. And this also indicates to us that sometimes in serving God, you will have suffering. Sometimes you will record losses. Now, this is a part that some people don't want to hear, because they believe that serving God is all rosy. Serving God is all sweet. But Jesus said, those who live godly in this world shall suffer. Now, take note of the word suffer. There is no other word for suffer that means any other thing. He said, those who live godly in Christ Jesus in this world shall suffer many persecutions. So, sometimes to obey God, you are going to suffer. I've talked to us before about the consequences of obedience. Sometimes the consequences of obedience are not always good. Sometimes the consequences of obedience are initially seen as losses and damages. Because if you are going to obey God like Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, and the others, they are in the sea casting their net and catching their fish. That was the only business they knew how to do. And they have become expert in that business. And all of a sudden, a man appeared. A younger man than them by age appeared. And then said to them, you, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then he drops his net, forgets his boat, forgets his customers. And then he starts following a man without any employment letter, any compensation package, no welfare arrangement. And then he's just following. And he doesn't know how this following is going to end, but he just followed. So he dropped everything. And many other disciples had to drop their interest. You know, there was a man in the book of Luke that Jesus met and said, come, follow me. And the man said, okay, I will follow you, but allow me to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury the dead. In other words, Jesus is telling him, forget about emotion, forget about family ties. So if you are going to follow me, sometimes it's going to cost you something. Praise God. Nobody ever put his hand in the plow and looked back that is worthy of the master. The Bible says, anyone that must come to me must first and foremost deny himself. So there is a self-denier in following God. And that's not going to be easy on your flesh. Let me say this, and I'm going to explain. I've never seen God ask somebody to do what is easy. Praise God. God will never ask you to do what is easy. But whatever God asks you to do is not impossible. I say that again. God will not ask you to do what is easy, because what God is going to pay you for doing that work, it will far outweigh whatever you have done. So he's not going to ask you to do what is easy, but it's definitely going to be what is possible to be done. Can you imagine a young rich man, very wealthy in his day? And you know, if you are wealthy, you are popular. If you are wealthy, you are influential. If you are wealthy, you have a voice. You have a circle of friends. And then the man is coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I love you. I love the way that you do things. I want to be part of your team. Anybody will accept such a rich young man without any conditions attached. Just come and follow me. Just come and follow me. At least we need that your money, or God needs that your money. But Jesus said, if you are going to follow me, go home. Sell everything you have. I mean everything. Are you serious? You mean I should sell my limousine, my Lexus, including the house I just built? I mean, sell everything. And he didn't say sell it and keep the money in the bank. He said sell it and give the money to the poor people. And then just come and follow me. That's what God is talking about. Now, doesn't that look like suffering? Now, doesn't that look like hardship? Doesn't it look like losing from the beginning? But that's the suffering. So, compensation is that money that is given to you for losing something, for suffering. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. He suffered so much rejection, so much embarrassment, that they even needed to borrow a grave to bury him. But the Father highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above all names. That every time Jesus looks at the glory that he gained by the suffering, it dwarfs the pain of the suffering. So when you are willing to suffer for God, then he gives you something. For the Bible says that the suffering, in fact, the Bible calls it a light affliction. The light affliction that we go through in this world. And of course, when God says a light affliction can be that you have 5 children and you lose them all. Praise God. But if you are going to suffer that kind of a loss, and yet you still serve God like nothing happened, then God owes you compensation. Praise God. And the compensation of God will always be better. Now, let's go back to Job 42, verse 11. The Bible said that Job became twice richer. He became twice better than what he was before. Verse 11, Job chapter 42, verse 11. So, you see the compensation that God gave. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before. So this is telling us that they used to be his friends before, but something happened to Job and they were no longer his friends, but they returned. Praise God. So compensation is like a return, a restoration. And did eat bread with him in his house. Now that's a man that was once smelling, and then bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought all upon him. Now this was their thinking, that it was the Lord that brought the evil, but God don't bring evil upon people. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job. If you want to connect verse 11 and verse 12, now there will not be any spiritual connection, because verse 11 said, and every man gave to Job, his friends, his acquaintances, every man gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. But now, this verse 11 is explained in verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. When men give to you, it is the blessing of God. Praise God. So when God blesses a man, the blessing of God upon a man's life is that people will give to you even without you asking them. The Bible says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. How many of us will not like this kind of a blessing? Praise God. Now, your end is better than your beginning. Hey. So the Lord blessed the latter part of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep. Now, if you read chapter 1 of Job and chapter 2, he will tell you Job had 7,000 sheep. Here the Bible saying he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. Now, it didn't stop there. Verse 13. God kept on. He had also 7 sons and three daughters. Praise God. Now, God didn't need to give him 14 sons and six daughters. That would be too much for him. Praise God. But God replaced the 10 children that he lost. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he didn't stop here. Because God is a complete God and he knows how to compensate. Yes, verse 15. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Praise God. So everywhere the 3 daughters of Job will compete for Miss Universe, they will carry first, second, third. He said, in all the land there were no women found so fair. The fair here represents beautiful, elegant, as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. What do you call that? Praise God. Now, this is the blessing we are talking about. This is the compensation we are talking about. Everything that Job lived before the sickness, God canceled it. So if Job had lived 50 years and was the richest man in his whole country, after the sickness, God canceled 50 years, canceled everything, and started the life of Job all over again from number one. Why Job didn't go back to become a baby? As an adult, God started counting from number one. And the Bible says he lived after this, how many years? 140 years. And he saw his sons. He saw his sons' sons. And he saw how many generations? 4 generations. That is to say, this is Job. This is Job's sons. This is Job's son's son. This is Job's son's son's son. And then son, 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 son. What a blessing it was. Moses lived 120 years. But Job lived 140. If you had the other ones, maybe he exceeded 200 years. Praise God. That's divine compensation. Now, that's why God will not give you a blessing without a life to enjoy the blessing. That's why the Bible said the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and hath no sorrow. Solomon wrote something in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Now, I want to emphasize life. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common amongst men. A man to whom God had given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired, yet God giveth him not power to eat it thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Praise God. Now, the Bible is talking about a man who he has given wealth. That means that every wealth, when you see somebody rich, it comes from God. But yet, God has not given him the power to eat it. The power to eat it, number one, is life. The power to enjoy your wealth and honor, number two, is good health. Because you may be rich, and yet you don't have the ability to enjoy it. Praise God. Now, there's a man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul. Yet, God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats it. So whatever you labor, a stranger eats it. You have the most beautiful daughters on earth, but you were never present in their wedding. You didn't sit to receive any dowry of all of your daughters. No, you were not there. It's either you were dead or very sick in the hospital. Some of us today, we get married and it is another woman that is sitting as our mother. And sometimes the greatest cry of the girl that is marrying is not that the husband is poor or rich. It's that, look at me today. Another person is taking what my mother is supposed to take. Praise God. The sorrow comes. So there is compensation for serving God. So are you here and you have suffered any form of losses? Please, I'd like you to understand that God knows how to compensate, and he will compensate you for the losses, for the pains, for the stripes that you have suffered. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.